Today, I'm going to continue with you on our journey of the master outlines of the Bible. And we're going to be looking at the work of the Holy Spirit today. As we look at the Holy Spirit, many of us kind of wonder, well, okay, what's going on? You know, what is the Holy Spirit's role? How does the Holy Spirit work in our lives? And you know, we pray about the Holy Spirit. We sing about the Holy Spirit. And just what's going on there? Because we can't see Him. And He is a Him. He is the third person of our Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And He is spoken of as coming from the Father and from the Son. So we know that unity exists, and we also know that the Holy Spirit has a job to do, and it's understanding what that job is today that I long for us to endeavor into. So if you would, turn in your scriptures for our first scripture this day to the book of John in the 16th chapter, and we're going to begin in verse 7. And read through 15. John 16, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, beginning in verse 7, and we're going to read through 15. Jesus is speaking here to His disciples, and He's telling them about what is getting ready to come, and They need some understanding, just as we need some understanding. And the amazing thing was, they had no idea what He was talking about when He was saying these things. They didn't understand them until after they had happened and had actually received the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Well, because the Holy Spirit is the power of illumination. Prior to His coming, they were not illuminated yet. So this is what Jesus had to say about the Holy Spirit before He ever came. He said, but I tell you the truth, from verse 7 in chapter 16, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send Him to you. When He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in Me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see Me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can know, can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is Mine and make it known to you. In a little while, you will see Me no more. And then after a little while, you will see Me. Blessed be the word of the Lord. As we read this word and look at verses 9, 10, and 11, we understand the first three principles of what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit convicts men of the sin of unbelief. The Holy Spirit convicts men that Jesus is the righteousness of God. And the Holy Spirit convicts men that the power of Satan has been broken. When we grab a hold of these three things, we understand then how a relationship with God is established. We understand that it's through this conviction that we in unbelief are sinning against the God who has created us. And it so amazes me because our world is out there running around after spiritual things. If you turn on the news right now and look at some of the magazines that are out there, you'll find that people are running after all kinds of spiritual adventures today. I watched one just the other night of a gentleman roller skating on the beach. Okay, that was sent to me by somebody here, and it just blew my mind, because here's this guy finding spirituality in giving up his surgical practice and roller skating on the beach. Okay? I wonder how many people are going to heaven because he's roller skating on the beach. Everybody out there is looking for something. Unfortunately, many don't find it because they're not listening to the call of the Holy Spirit. Because it may not look like what you want it to look like. Terry sung a song, and she sang about the open door. And I think about a 7-year-old who this week took a gun and killed himself because he was bullied at school. What was he listening to? What voices was he submitting himself to? Was he coming under the conviction of the Holy Spirit to understand his unbelief? Was he coming to the Holy Spirit to understand that Jesus is the righteousness of God? Was he coming to the Holy Spirit to understand that the power of Satan was broken? No. Why? Because he wasn't being taught those things. Because there was nobody out there giving him the reality of hope that all of us know and hold on to, because we have heard the Holy Spirit calling us through that open door. A 7-year-old boy, and this is not make-believe, this is real. A 7-year-old boy took his own life. His life hadn't even begun. 7. And it was already over. Because no one was teaching him, no one was reaching out to him to let him know that what he needed something. If he wouldn't have needed something, he wouldn't have took that gun and put it to his head. And this is something that we need to understand. People are crying out loudly because they can't hear. They don't know how to connect. It's our job, those of us who are in Christ, those of us who have received the Holy Spirit, to help those people connect. To not be able to not be afraid to be able to say, I don't have all the answers, but this is how God has worked in my life. You know, I'm so tired of Christians telling me, but Pastor, I don't know all the Bible. Gee, neither do I. And I preach it. Because I know He who is the Bible. And He is in me. And I cannot stop giving Him out. I cannot quit what I'm doing. Because the Holy Spirit in me has convicted me unto sin in such a manner, has shown me that Satan has no control over my life, and I need to let other people know that. Because he has been defeated, he is in hell right now, sitting there, standing there, whatever you want to call it, with his mouth hanging wide open and his eyes bugged out, because Jesus resurrected and took the keys right out of his hands. You and I have that hope. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has taught it to us. Because somebody was there to pray for us. Because somebody was there being that voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives, helping us to see that there was an open door. This poor young man was looking for an open door, and that door has been open for 2,000 years. And yet, we have people dying every day. Every day. And not knowing the Lord. I'm sorry, my voice fluctuates. I'm trying to get that said a little bit better so that you don't have to listen so hard. But it's my way of preaching, because my heart is soft. Used to not be. I used to be as hard as nails. I used to be one of the most SOBs you ever wanted to meet. And yes, I just said that. But the Holy Spirit touched my life, convicted me of my sin, because I had a great grandmother who prayed for me. because I had a great aunt who prayed for me. And yes, I even had parents who took me to church for a time, though they didn't even understand what they were doing. But in that, somehow, I began to understand that there was an open door. Because people cared and showed me the way. That's our job, to show others the way. And that goes for you young people too. Every day you go to school, every day you have opportunity around you as you see your friends who are out there who are struggling. Now, you know, some of you, I know you're homeschooled. It's a little hard because the only one there is your sister or your brother. But you still know people in this world, don't you? Both of you do. And you are to be a light unto this world. Don't be afraid to be that light. You may get rejected. That's okay. That's okay. That doesn't speak about you. That speaks about their belief of God. And He's big enough to take that. The question is, are you willing to dare? Are you willing to dare to believe God and trust Him to guide you? You know, one of the places that I had to trust God, and this is also part of one of the realities of understanding God, and that is the fact that He empowers us. And I'm going to jump all over, not going by my layout here. God empowered me to become a Christian, to become something that I didn't plan on being. I was a machinist, and a pretty darn good one. I was running machinery that cost more than $1.5 million, just the machine. I was making parts that cost as much as $3 to $7 million. And I was making good money. And I'm going to be upfront and honest with you right now. I was actually making more money 18 years ago, well, excuse me, in 1996 than I'm making now. A friend of mine told me once, you can tell how much somebody loves God by how deeply he lets God get in their wallet. You know, I believe that. Not because I'm being facetious or boastful, but because money doesn't matter anymore. What matters is a relationship. What matters is the love that we have. What matters is the fact that I look out here and I see you people, and I want to teach you, and I want to empower you to go out. I want you to understand the way I've come to know God, and I want you to submit yourselves to that reality, because in that power, God can use you to do things that you could never hope or dream. I was a machinist. I had my own farm. I was doing my thing. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, follow me. And I was like, whoa, what? Whoa, what? What? You want me to do what? Well, that doesn't fit my schedule. That was when I was 18. And He called me again. And I said, whoa, what? What? That doesn't look good to me. That was when I was in my 20s, early 30s. And then He called me one last time. And I was finally ready. I was finally to the point that the things of this world meant nothing to me, because I had faced the death of my father. I had faced the coming death of my father-in-law. And I was looking at a son at the age of 4 with leukemia. And I didn't know if I was going to have him. And all of a sudden, this life didn't mean a whole lot anymore. And God empowered me to dare to dream. God empowered me to see something greater than myself. God is yet empowering me to see something greater than these 4 walls that we stand in right now with these few people that are here. You are but the seed. And I pray that you understand that. You are but the seed. And as you allow God to allow you to grow, you're going to become a tree. And in your branches are going to roost birds of all sizes and kinds. And they're going to nest, and they're going to make families, and they're going to come, and they're going to know the heart of God, because you cared enough to be planted in the good soil, to be empowered to become something greater than you could ever become in yourselves, but that you could become the light and the life of Jesus Christ. Because I'm telling you all right now, we are not destined to be just what we are now. but God has something for our future. God has empowered us to know Him beyond all measure if we will yet trust the Holy Spirit. And when He says come, when He opens that door, and you may not like the color of the door, you may not like how wide it is or how tall it is. In fact, some of the doors are pretty small, and you've got to get on your knees and crawl through them. But when you do, and you get on the other side, the entire universe opens up to you. Because God is not a little God. He is a big God with big ideas and big dreams, and He wants to see His kingdom come in the full measure of eternity. I don't know about you, but eternity is pretty big. God created a universe that can't contain Him. And one of these days, we're going to dwell with Him and be with Him. How big do you think God really is? How much more do you think we have to know, to grow into? Daddy's got some pretty big shoes, guys. Y'all remember that when you were little? Walking around in Dad's shoes, or for you young ladies, putting on Mom's shoes? Hey, I'll be honest with you, I even tried my Mom's shoes on once. They were high heels. I couldn't see how she walked in them. I just had to try them once. But God has big shoes. And He's going to help us to fill those shoes. And that by the power of the Holy Spirit, by empowering us to do things that we could never do on our own. And that is a truth that I want each and every one of you to remember. Jesus says in the book of Acts, in the first chapter, in verse 8, He says that we will be baptized into the Holy Spirit, and He will come upon us with power. And in 1 Timothy, He says, I have not given you a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. There is nothing that can defeat us. When we know that Satan has already lost the battle, his hands are tied, there is nothing he can do. He is going to try everything. He's going to lie himself to death. And that's the truth. We all know that. He's the father of lies. But when we realize through the power of the Holy Spirit that he has no power, that we are set free, that Jesus Christ is the righteousness, and we believe that reality. Do you see how this is all putting on the Holy Spirit? When we put Him on, when we allow Him into us, to fill us, to indwell us, which is another one of the aspects of the Holy Spirit, He then takes control and gives us the hope and drive and desires of God Himself. Many of you sitting here today are probably wondering, well, Pastor, you know, I really don't have the time to do all this stuff. The awesome and most amazing thing about God is if it is the Holy Spirit, other things aren't going to matter. Those things are going to go by the wayside. Many of you here know I raise snakes. Got 30-some. Guess what happens today? Probably about 7 o'clock. They all go up for sale, every one of them. And all my snake stuff, my wife knows it. It's been planned for a little while now. Why? Because God has begun a new work. And He has said to me, give me these things. Give me these things. And I'm like, but God, you know, I like these things. They keep my mind at ease, and I find peace in them. And He says, I am your peace. I'm giving you one job to do. That's all I want you to do. I don't want to walk through that door. I want my stuff. How many of us want to give up our stuff? I don't know about you, but I like my stuff. I paid for it. I worked for it. It's mine. No, it's not. It was His before it was ours. He gave it to us for a time to give us some joy, to show us His love, and to let us know that He's there to meet our needs. But now He's saying, Rich, let's walk through this door. Let's check out this vista. Let's dream this dream. Let's vision this vision to its fullest and watch what I can give you. Because he's not just giving it to me, he's also giving it to you. And all you have to do is dare to walk through that door. Today is a day like no other. We live in a time where people are looking so spiritually towards all things that would bring any kind of hope, bring any kind of answer to life and all its mysteries. But we know the reality that the Holy Spirit brings that reality into our lives. Turn in your Bible, back up a few chapters to John 3. John 3. Verse 5 and 6. John 3, verse 5 and 6. You know, we think we have all the answers. We think we can do all things in and of ourselves. But this scripture teaches us something that I pray each and every one of us will remember. From verse 5. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. In that, in those words, Jesus is speaking about our regeneration. The Holy Spirit regenerates every believer. We gave up our birthright. We are dead in and of ourselves because we gave up our birthright through Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, we were changed as a human race. For we were no longer conceived in the image of God, as Adam and Eve were, but we were conceived in the image of Adam, who was now a sinful man. Our birthright was gone. We were dead. We had no inheritance. But in the Holy Spirit, he takes away that original sin. He takes away all our sin. And he makes us once again the image of God. He sets us right that we are considered sinless. Why? Because Jesus paid a price that you nor I could ever pay. And the Holy Spirit comes and he sets himself upon us and then he indwells us and he fills us. The scripture says, be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That's Ephesians 5 and 15. When we understand that reality, what's he speaking there? He's saying, look, you can go out there and do all those things that lead to debauchery, or you can come unto me and be led unto life. And when we come unto him and are led unto life, we find hope, we find restoration, we find purpose, we find direction, because we are once again the image of God, and we have that communion with him. And he can direct us and does direct us, and he gives us hope for every day, now and even into your future. You know, when you're young, your age, you know, you guys got a lot to look forward to coming ahead, right? You have two choices. You can do all the things you want to do in life, all right? But there's only two choices that matter. Are you going to choose life or are you going to choose death? That's a reality. That's the only reality. God says you can be an astronaut. He says you can be a circus clown. That must have struck a note with Dad. In other words, they already are, huh? He's kind of spaced out and he's just a... Yeah, all right. My reality is this. God wants you to do whatever you want to do. He wants you to become whatever you want to become. But the one thing he wants most is for you to love him. And for him to love you. And you just have to ask yourself the question, do you want to be loved for all eternity or not? It's that simple. And then when we take that answer, when we make that decision, then we can't keep it to ourselves. That's what the Holy Spirit does to us. That's part of the empowering. That's part of the reaching out. That's part of becoming the witness for God. Because we know a joy in our hearts that we can't keep to ourselves. It's contagious. And we have to give it away. We can't keep it. It's a gift that is so great and yet so precious that we realize the more we give away, the more we get. And the more we get, the more we want to give it away. Why do you think I get up here every Sunday and preach? You know, there's a sermon out there, there's a story out there of a pastor who preached the same sermon for 3 months in a row. And when he started, the folks thought he was the best preacher they had ever heard. Until about the third, fourth, fifth week, and finally one of the elders got up the gumption to say, "Hey, what's going on? You're preaching the same sermon. You know, it's time that we hear something different." And the preacher looked at him and said, "Well, maybe it's time you start doing what I taught you the first time." I just keep bringing it back around. Why? Because somewhere along the line, some of it will rub off. I know that because that's how it works with me. Do I get it all at once? Do I get it all now? No. God has to continue to douse me, continue to indwell me, continue to empower me, continue to convict me, continue, continue, continue. Why? Because that is sanctification. That is how God sanctifies us. It's progressive sanctification. When God looks at us, we are completely and totally sanctified. But He also knows, the Holy Spirit knows, that it is a general work within us. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, we don't accept Jesus Christ and all of a sudden we're perfect. Right, Miss Missy? Right. We got no problems. Everything's great. That'd be awesome. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? But it would also kill us. Do you know that? It would literally kill us. If God took everything that is evil out of us instantaneously, we would be dead. Do you understand that? The reality in that is so real because no man can look into the face of God and live. Why? Because of our sin. God has to take it out of us a little at a time, a little at a time, a little at a time. And the more He takes out of us, it's one of the most amazing things. The more we see God every day, the more we understand the Holy Spirit in every way, the more we begin to walk with Him, the more we fall in love with Him, the more we see the hope of this world. And yet we walk in this dark place. And I'll tell you, it can be a conundrum of your heart. I love that word, Miss Beth. Because in your heart, we're torn between the flesh and the spirit. It's a constant battle within us. We want the things of this world. We want the things that we can see and touch and smell and taste, right? But God says there's a whole other world out there, one that you don't even know, one that you can't even comprehend. Isn't that what He says? No mind has seen, no mind can conceive what God has in store for those who are in Christ Jesus. Dare to dream. Dare to dream and see what doors God opens up, because He will open them up. One of the other things that the Holy Spirit does is He seals us. And turn to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 13 and 14. Verse 13, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory." You and I are sealed. In ancient day, this meant a whole lot more than it does to us today. We don't think about things being sealed. But in ancient day, the only way a document carried any weight is if it came with the seal of some leader. And the higher the leader was, the more it meant. We seal documents today. Marriage licenses have a seal of Pennsylvania on them, right? When you get a mortgage, they get the seal of the state stamped upon them, okay? When we look at some of the documents that we yet use, we find seals, but it's not something that we use in general fashion anymore. Years ago, people would have signet rings. And when you mailed a letter, you would stamp your signet ring on the back of the envelope on hot wax so that the person who got it knew nobody else read it and that this was intended for them, and you knew who the person was who sent it because you knew the seal of their ring. And it carried weight. Well, the great weight that we have of the Holy Spirit, and this is something I want you to understand. This comes to us from the Gospels, where God says, Jesus says to us, that if a man cleans his house, in other words, if he casts out all the demons that are in him, and does not fill that house with something else, and it remains empty, that demon that left is going to come back with seven more stronger. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit stands at the door of our being because we have now become the temple of God, and no evil can enter in. No demon can possess a Christian. No demon dare walk into our lives and threaten us in any way. They can oppress us from outside. They can deceive us in the world. But internally, if we are truly in Christ, they can do nothing, for we are sealed. The door is shut to them. You and I are here to do the work of Jesus Christ, because that seal, every time a spiritual being, and believe me, we live in a spiritual world, looks upon us, they see the seal of God, and they know we cannot be harmed. When we look at the book of Revelation, we're even shown that. Because the book of Revelation, we're told that the demons will come up from the pit and they'll come out and they'll shoot their stinging arrows. But God says, dare you not touch, don't kill a one of those of mine who is what? Sealed. He is our guarantor. We are sealed unto that day. But in that sealing, in that indwelling, in that reaching into us, God gives us something. See, God's not a stingy God, okay? We have a great God. We have a giving God. And God gives us something. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning in verse 1 and reading through verse 11. From the first verse in the 12th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, we read these words. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretations of tongues. All these are the work of one Spirit and the same Spirit. And He gives them to each one just as He determines. Brothers and sisters, as we look at what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives, He gives us a power that says, God gives me the strength to do things that are outside of my normal realm of being. God is a powerful God who wishes that we would work with Him to what? The common good. All spiritual gifts are given to the common good. They're not given to you to make money off of. Okay? They're not given to you to make you rise up above anybody else or to lord it over somebody. They're given for the common good. That as we become the church, the ingathering of Jesus Christ, we work with one another to build the kingdom here on earth so that others may be saved and that we may be edified. In fact, that's what it says in the book of Romans, that the spiritual gifts are given for the edification of the body. Okay? We need to understand those two realities. None of this is given to us for our own measure, but for the measure of others, for the common good. Many people ask, well, gee, Pastor, how many types of spiritual gifts are there? You know, here's a list. There's a list in the book of Romans. And I have to laugh because if you talk to 10 different theologians, you'll get 10 different answers. When I went to Bible college, I was taught that there were 9 spiritual gifts. I read the Bible and I said, I think there's a few more. Then I went to another church and I was taught there that there were 12 to 16. And today I have paperwork up front here that I'd like each family to take one and play with that says there's 27. The honest reality is I think there's more than that. When you read the scriptures, you'll find that there are so many different types of gifts out there because there are so many different jobs that need to be done in the church. There are so many different things that we have to accomplish. Everything that has to happen in the world has to happen in the church. And God empowers us to do those things. When I think of the power of God, I think about just how much He gives us. And yet I'm reminded that the Holy Spirit's time here on earth is limited. You do know that, right? The Holy Spirit's eternal. But His time on earth is limited. Prior to the coming of Christ, the Holy Spirit came and went. The Holy Spirit empowered people and then He would leave. And then He would come and He would empower somebody and He would leave. And then He would come and He would empower somebody and He would leave. Only in the coming of the Christ and in His resurrection was the Holy Spirit set to stay. Because now He is working among us. Jesus said it is better that He go away. Why? Well, I want you to think about something, and I'm going to give you something here, and theologically I'm going to get myself into all kinds of trouble with this, but hear me out. Jesus Christ is a physical being. Can He be everywhere all the time, all at once? Excuse me? Not as a physical being. Okay? Not as a physical being. In the form of God the Father and in the form of God the Holy Spirit, yes. But you see, Jesus took upon Himself what? A physical body. He limited Himself. Please, don't underestimate that. Jesus can only be at one place at one time. God the Father is everywhere. God the Holy Spirit is everywhere. Jesus gave that up to become our redemption. Do you understand that? So it was better that He go to heaven where He can stand before the eternal Father who is always present and cast His prayers upon the Father on our behalf and send the Holy Spirit who is present everywhere all the time and is all powerful because He is the agent of power in our lives for the church age. So the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. But the Holy Spirit is also going to leave. At the tribulation. When the body of Christ is called up, the Holy Spirit leaves. And there is no more Holy Spirit to lead people unto salvation. So His time is limited. Our time is limited. And I don't know about you, but I think the day is drawing nigh. I mean, I look around, I start seeing what's on TV and listening to what's happening, and I understand, you know, I have no idea. I don't think it's going to happen right now. I'm waiting for that trumpet to go. I want to hear the first twinkling of it. I don't want to be called up at the end when it's crescendoing. I want to hear the first doot and be out of here. Like the little girl said, I want to be first. Even if it means being last, I still want to be first. Because the reality is, I'd rather be last in Jesus Christ than first in the world. And that's my hope. That's my truth. You and I need to understand our gifts. And today, I want you to... Oop! I just unplugged my light. Told you guys I keep messing with this cord up here. I was telling them it gets in my way and I trip over it. And I think I just proved my point. Up front here, there are three sheets. This first sheet is called the Spiritual Gifts Discovery Questions. I'd like you to take one of these per family, if you would. I only made 30 copies. I didn't want to kill too many trees. Take one per family, and then take a piece of paper, put your name on it, and answer each question. Rate it 0 through 4, all right? 0 meaning not so much or not at all. 4 meaning, yep, that's me through and through, all right? It's kind of explanatory. You'll be able to see that on a separate sheet of paper. Then, after you're done, there's 2 other papers up here. This one here is your answer sheet. Don't write your answers on this one, all right? Don't even look at this one. Just take it home and forget you got it. Because what's going to happen is you're going to start figuring out what the gifts are as you start going through it, and you're going to say, oh, I want to score high on that one, and you're going to skew your answers, all right? So don't use the answer sheet, use a tablet. And once you've finished your answers, then get your answer sheet and write your answers on here. Because each line across is one spiritual gift. All right? And you can score up to 16, because 4 is your highest score. And it said that any place that you're over 8 shows an indication, because 8's the midline, that it may be, please understand that this is completely and totally subjective, all right? Because this is so wonderful. Well, I used to have a brother when I was given this test years and years and years and years and years and years ago. I was given this very same test, and we came to the end of it, and everybody scored themselves, and we had this one brother, I'm going to call him Brother Stan. He said, I got every gift. I scored 12 and above on everything. His wife looked at him and said, even celibacy? That's a true story, okay? That's a true story. It is subjective, but it's meant to give you an idea, a place to look. Where may I be gifted? What are some of the things? And I hate to tell you this, some of you are gifted in areas you don't even know. And this may help you to evaluate that very reality. So I want you to take it home. For the answer sheets, you can take one per person that wants to do it, all right? And then over here is the descriptions. It's the gift definitions. Take one of them per family. Again, I don't want to kill too many trees because it gives you the definition of the gifts, because they're A through double A. And you just simply fill it in, and you can see what gifts you may have, all right? Now, the reality is, keep that, because I'm going to be doing a study at some point in time, a pastoral study, on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's going to be what we're working off of. So please hang on to it. Because one of the most dangerous things you can do is tell your people they have spiritual gifts and then not teach them about them. Okay? Because God has something He wants you to do. And I want you to be out there doing it. I have found reason and purpose for life. I used to think it was making money and having a farm and raising cattle and all kinds of dumb stuff. Now I understand that life has a purpose. Life has a purpose that means loving God, understanding that I was created for a purpose. And God wants me to love Him forever. And He wants to show Himself to me. the creator of the universe, the one who started it all. He's big. He doesn't need any one of us, but yet he wants a personal relationship with his creation. That's like me telling a cup of tea, oh, I'd like to get to know you. I don't understand it, but that's exactly what he says. And I trust him, and I love him, and I get back a greater love than I could ever give. And all of a sudden, there is reason, there is purpose, there is hope. Today, I want you to understand that God does have something very great in store for each and every one of us. And it is filled with power. And when we step into that power, it'll get people's attention. And lives will be changed. Would you pray with me today? Gracious Father, I thank you, God, our attention. Lord, you are there to guide us through the power of your Holy Spirit. May the fullness of your love embed itself in us and upon us. May we understand all that you have to show us. And Lord, that means we're going to have to walk with you for a while. We're going to have to submit ourselves to you for a while. And as you call us through open doors, Lord, may we come, that we can dream your dreams and see your visions and know your hope and give it all away to simply gain it again. Father, all these things we bring before you in the powerful name of he who is the Christ our Lord, that we may be your image again, in Jesus' name, amen.